Well, good afternoon to everyone. It's Sunday, the 17th of September, 2023. And we're going to continue looking at the life of Timothy. And our focus will be on a better understanding of biblical meditation. In society today, that word meditation, it's tossed around in conversation. And really, it includes almost every kind of mental concentration you can imagine, except the kind God is talking about in 1 Timothy 4:15. The words meditate and meditation, they've really become common buzzwords in the subjects of self-care and self-medicating efforts on our parts. And perhaps the broad spectrum of usage has dulled or eroded the clarity of its spiritual meaning. It's nothing that instruction from God's word, God's breathed word, can't fix. Paul wrote to Timothy about the spiritual disciplines of the good minister of Jesus Christ. And in his letter to Timothy, Paul said in chapter 4, verse 15, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Even back then, among the Greeks, as long as there have been Greeks in political forums and public orations, even among the Greeks, they used a meditative pondering as they practiced their oratory skills. And, they had to be good at public presentations because they were entrusted with that position to influence people that they were speaking to. That's so understandable, because how could someone effectually influence another if their working knowledge of a subject was shallow or if it was deficient of substantial content? The biblical usage of the word for mediate or meditate is to care for, attend carefully, or practice. So, meditating upon the scriptures requires a revolving or a turning in the mind of verses that are known to the individual. So, thinking, pondering, savoring, that whole digestive process that both Larry and I continue to present for your consideration, working them together, the scriptures, so they weave a thick tapestry of truth. First of all, for the one doing the meditating, that's who it's supposed to bless. Definitely. Otherwise, his or her oratory will be superficial. And what are we told? We've been reading for weeks now and when working on Timothy. It was not to be superficial, it was to be genuine. So his or her oratory will be superficial if the powerful words of God have not already impacted their own lives. And secondly, that the profit from the word they speak is a testimony from the speaker, and it is recognized as such by the hearer. The root word for mediate, it signifies that something is an object of care, especially care involving forethought as well as interest. And out of caring, there is a diligence to thoroughly prepare and practice as a result of having devised a plan of action. So we have a godly service in the body of Christ to fulfill the plan that God has given us. So we plan, we devise, we imagine the various ways for the best implementation for the spoken word to have free course in our realm of opportunities. Then we have the expectations that our Heavenly Father will inspire us by way of the Holy Spirit, that He will inspire our hearts on the specific direction to take. For Timothy, and really all beloved ones, the care involved in the spiritual preparation, wouldn't that include prayer? Wouldn't that include thanking God for His leading us to a good understanding beforehand? Meditation is the preparation for our lives. It was Timothy's foundation, as was laid by his mother and his grandmother, who Paul acknowledged trained him up in the way he should go, so that when his time was come to choose for himself, he chose the way of godliness. And the verse goes on to say that we are to meditate upon these things, that verse 16 says. And these, well, so you say, what are these things? Meditate upon what things? Well, these things begin back in verse 6 of 1 Timothy 4. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables. And that's just simply stories that got cooked up along the way that sound pretty good, but they are void of truth. The facts aren't accurate. That's old wives' fables, profane. But refuse that and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Everything in our life gets affected when it gets the juice of godliness. Absolutely. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that is, that now is, and of that which is to come. Because we do have promise of the life that is to come. We will garner rewards for the things that we have done out of faith, with love. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. And God is the Savior of all men, because it was His plan, His eternal plan. It had no beginning just like Him, and it has no end just like Him. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. When people look at you, they should see an example of love, of kindness, of compassion, of forgiveness, of truth, of honesty, that would just say, wow, is that what the nature of God looks like? Sure. Be thou an example of the believers in your word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And how long are we going to do this? Well, till the Lord returns. But verse 13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Then, verse 15, Timothy, meditate upon these things. In earlier studies, we read from 2 Timothy 3:15 that From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, you know, Paul had already declared how Timothy's faith in Christ was sincere. There was no hypocrisy. There was no fake put-on show, what we sometimes refer to as the fellowship face or the teaching face. No, we're supposed to have the same face all the time. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you," that's the genuine faith, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So getting back to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 continues, "Take heed unto thyself." You can't take heed unto somebody else. We take heed unto ourselves. That's the person God has put us in charge of, is ourselves, and unto the doctrine. "Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." And that's so because that's the way God designed it. If we look to the Word, then the Word looks after us. And here, it may seem like Paul is reproving Timothy, but he's not. When he tells him to take heed, Timothy is already taking heed. And that is why Paul entrusted Timothy to oversee the work of the ministry. Timothy is a young man here, though, and he has been taking heed so far in his life. But now Paul tells him, take heed, because taking heed is what we do. And you know how often we do it? Over and over and over and over and over again. We have to take heed every day. We never will be old enough. We will never be mature enough in the scriptures, spiritually, to coast on what we have already learned from God's Word. And really, even if you don't happen to learn anything new today, you certainly refresh yourself, because the spiritual flame that burns within you to do what you know today requires daily attendance of your mind and your heart to stay on fire for Him. So Timothy is to continue taking heed unto his own self and the doctrine of God, not doctrines contrived by men. And Paul says, continue in them, Timothy. Continue day by day, yourself and the doctrine. Now why? For in doing this, here's why, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And "them that hear thee" refers to those who not only hear, but they hear with an intention of doing what you're telling, what you're saying. In other words, it's not talking about the ones that are listening to what you say to catch you in your own words. They're looking to hear what God would have them hear by way of a teaching that would help them develop themselves, save themselves. Isn't this Word of God stunning? I tell you, it really is. The word for save is very powerful, too. It means to rescue from danger or destruction. And it includes saving the one suffering from disease so they become well, healed, and restored to health. And it includes saving folks from the evils which obstruct receiving of salvation. And, of course, God saves us by His grace when one confesses the Lord Jesus and believes in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. So with careful attendance to revolve the scriptures in his mind and then practice them, Timothy, or me, or you, we're able to then exercise godliness. Which brings us to the subject of giving careful attendance to the scriptures. How do we really accomplish that? We know that we study. We know that we are to put on the mind of Christ, renew our minds. We've worked through so many of these subjects over the years. But how do we give careful attendance to the scriptures? Well, life, and all of you could write a book on this. Life moves at a rapid pace. And I would say that the pace that life comes at us, it has no speed limit. It is always over the limit. It's just the way the world has become. Seems that much of what we do for ourselves is to go or on the run. But it all goes back to a verse very familiar to many of us in Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11 are the ones I'm going to read. Wherewithal shall a young man or woman cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So that's how we cleanse our way, and that's how we give careful attendance to the scripture. By reading it, by remembering it, and by doing it, giving it attendance. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So what better way could there be to hide the word in our heart than to memorize scriptures? You know, those verses become part of us, and they are ever with us wherever we go. And throughout the day, scriptures will pop up in our minds. Thoughts come, right? Well, if your thoughts that you've tucked away because of their preciousness, those scriptures are going to come back. And they come to our rescue in all of our times of need. And that's pretty much throughout every day. Even if the need is a fun one, or a simple one, or a complicated one, or maybe it's a tragic one, those scriptures are hidden in our hearts. So at the right time, by way of the Holy Spirit, they come back to our minds in an actionable way to rescue us from that moment, or to rescue us to be able to enjoy that moment and to be effectual. This past week, I read an interview, and the host was asking a believing woman to share her experiences about memorizing Bible verses. Now, this woman being interviewed, she is a wife, she's a mom who homeschools her children, she serves her community the bread of life, and perhaps I kind of thought of it, well, here's a modern day grandmother, mother, like Timothy had. And this woman's response was so simple, and her heart, oh my gosh, her heart for what she was doing by memorizing scriptures was so deep and so compelling for the benefits of scripture memorization. So I want to read you a couple of segments of the interview, her responses to the host. She said, During one of my first Bible studies on the armor of God, the Bible study leader challenged us to memorize Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. I've always loved a challenge, so I took it. And once I learned it, it was amazing how I was able to use what I had memorized in prayer, in encouraging others, and to better understand God's Word. From then on, I was hooked and wanted to learn as much as I could. What a lovely, heart-filled testimony that is. She took the challenge. She had no idea at the time she accepted that challenge exactly what the Word of God would accomplish within her. And she continued, "There is something about memorizing Scripture that changed me deep inside." And that's something she could not have known until she did it, right? Absolutely. "I can draw from memory verses when I need strength to encourage others, help with temptation, share the gospel, be on guard, and so much more. Memorizing Scripture has grown my knowledge and understanding of God and who He is. To learn His faithfulness, His mercy, His steadfast love throughout Scripture has given me a faith that can only come from being in His Word." You know, this woman, you can tell she did this because she speaks of experience. She knows what she's talking about. You can recognize spiritual understanding in what she said, and it is so true that her genuine faith comes through being in God's Word. She decided to memorize verses, and later, as she was doing it, found out it was for her own good, that it was a transformational process. So, what do we do when we need strength? To encourage others, to withstand temptation, or to do our jobs as ambassadors for Christ? Well, when we need to be especially sober-minded and aware, and then, like she said, and so much more. It doesn't end. There's no end to how the Scriptures, coming back to our memory, help us. It is the nature of the Holy Spirit to flush the needed verse to the surface because the Holy Spirit has that verse hidden in your heart to work with. The retrieval is lightning fast at times. And look at David's testimony about knowing verses. Psalm 119:92. "Unless thy word had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction." And in that verse, he is actually talking about his death. Because of a situation that happened in battle that allowed for the capture of all their wives and the stealing of all their properties, his warriors were ready to kill him. They spoke of killing him. And it says that David took comfort in the Scriptures. I don't know that he had a scroll in his backpack that day. So how did he take comfort in the Scriptures? He didn't have time to pull up a lawn chair and sit under a shade tree. In verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me, made me alive. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And again, we can't have our Bible laying open in front of us all day. No, we're moving with life. We have to live this life. So that word has to be in there already. Verse 98, "Through thy command... thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Well, if nothing has changed, it's true today. But we can determine that the scriptures will ever be within us. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. And in the Hebrew, the word for meditation means reflection, prayer, devotion, study. It's easy to think, because of schoolwork, which may not have been a passion in life at that time, that we can't memorize things. Oh, I have a terrible memory, people say. Well, don't curse yourself. But, you know, it's a lot different from memorizing schoolwork, because memorizing verses from God's Word is a whole other endeavor. Maybe memorizing schoolwork wasn't your passion. Maybe memorizing God's Word can become your passion. So we have a passion, and with scriptures hidden in our hearts, that flame I spoke of just gets hotter and bigger, and it just burns to pieces evil. And you have God's Word on that. The woman that I spoke of in the interview, she said she loved the epistles to the Philippians. So you know what she did? She decided she wanted to memorize the whole book of Philippians. And she did. She said that she memorized the entire book in about 4 weeks. And she acknowledged that there are many creative ways to memorize scripture. But for her, it was always just a matter of repeating one verse at a time until she knew it by heart. One verse, and then on to the next. And the woman's closing encouragement in this interview was to pray, to ask God to energize your ability to remember verses, to help you awaken within you your discipline to learn them, and for His blessings upon your desire to know His Word and to hide it in your heart. And God is faithful, and He will help you. He always will help us when we ask. And among the questions we have received over months, even years, about memorizing Bible verses is this: which Bible version or translation should I memorize? But, you know, it all goes back to heart and purpose. Our purpose is key. Hiding the God-breathed Word in our hearts so that we do not sin against our Heavenly Father's will. So that our way is cleansed by the holiness from the Scriptures. And so that in our afflictions of life, we do not perish. We remember that meditating on the scriptures is to save ourselves and those who hear us. So, going forward, when we hear the word meditation flying around in conversation, whether it's regarding self-help or self-medication tools, quote-unquote, we know in ourselves now the real heart of the subject of meditation. And with your goal in sight, you simply memorize the version that says it the most accurately. And with this plan, you may end up with a compilation of versions and translations. But is that a criterion? Not really. What we memorize adds to our working knowledge. That means we use it to live each day. You know, no doubt the woman interviewed is right. There are many ways to get the job of memorization done. But that is simply the tool to get the Word of God into our hearts and to keep it there. And if you wish to add to your, if you wish to add your memorization of the Scriptures as a daily activity, have fun figuring out your own special way that you will enjoy. It could be recording yourself reading the verse. You could do it on your iPhone. And then replaying it throughout the day. Lunch break, coffee break, standing in line. You know, everybody walks around with buds in their ears these days. Writing has long been a proven way to aid in memorization. Maybe have a family member or a close friend become a scripture partner. Given my age and background, I do commit to memory the King James Version, but really more recently in seeking the clearest and most accurate meanings, I do memorize at least key phrases from other versions. Kind of, you might think of them as literals. The King James says this, and I'm able to quote that, but then my mind has the memory of exactly what that means. But at the heart of it all, it is our desire to know God's Word for ourselves to the end that we are able to live accordingly and certainly to minister the hearts of others along life's way. And our next time together, we're going to continue with this topic of committing the Word of God to our hearts. And I'm expecting that it will be a lot of fun and a big joy to our hearts to look a little more about committing and hiding the Word in our hearts. God bless yours. Love you.